black man with black hair. Little black man, he's got interstate running through his front yard. You know he thinks he's got it so good. And there's a woman in the kitchen cleaning up the evening slime. And he looks at her and says, hey darling, I can remember when you could stop a cloud. Oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America something to see, baby? Ain't that America home of the free? Yeah, little pink houses for you and me. Just like everything else, those old crazy dreams just kinda came away. Oh, but
ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America something to see, baby? Ain't that America home of the free? Yeah,
little pink houses for you and me. Oh, baby, for you and me. Well, there's people and more people. What do they know? No, no. Go to work in some high rise and vacation down at the Gulf of Mexico. Oh, yeah. And there's winners and there's losers. But that ain't no big deal, 'cause a simple man, baby, pays the thrills, the bills, the pills that kill. Oh, but
ain't that America
for you and me?
Ain't that America
something to see, baby?
Ain't that America home of the free?
Yeah, little pink houses for you and me. Ooh,
ooh,
oh yes.
Ain't that America
for you and me?
Welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice, and now available at 96.5 FM in the Sacramento area. Today's program, A Call to Action. President Jimmy Carter talks about human rights abuses against women around the world and discusses what can be done about the problem. During this event, hosted by The Washington Post, President Carter is in conversation with Post Sally Quinn and David Ignatius. President Jimmy Carter is the 39th President of the United States and co-founder of the Carter Center and recipient of the 2002 Nobel Peace Prize. President Carter's books include Palestine Peace, Not Apartheid, and Our Endangered Values.
Next on Book TV, President Jimmy Carter talks about human rights abuses against women around the world and discusses what can be done about the problem.
So, Mr. President, women, as you have pointed out in your book, do not fare very well in most religions around the world. And at best, they are second-class citizens. At worst, they have been imprisoned, enslaved, tortured, raped, beaten, murdered. And I've had a lot of women say to me over the few past years that I've done on faith, how could God let this happen? Does God hate women? Well, how would you answer that question?
Well, the abuse of women that you used to refer in was in the past tense. It's still going on around the world and in the United States as well. And I would say that God does not hate women. I happen to be a Christian, and it would be a fruitless search to look through the scriptures and find one single instance where Jesus did not treat women either equal or superior to men. And unfortunately, though they're in the entire concept of the Bible, the 36,000 or so verses, if you are a male and you want to consider yourself superior in the eyes of God, then you can find a verse here and there that might confirm your beliefs. But when I have a problem of that kind, I teach the Bible every Sunday, as a matter of fact, in my local church, about half the time from a Hebrew text, the Old Testament, half from the New Testament. But when I get in a quandary about some comparisons that seem to be difficult, I turn to the words and actions of Jesus Christ. And he believes with almost everybody here, I'm sure, that women are exactly equal or even sometimes maybe superior to men.
Jesus had 12 disciples. They were all men, and there were no women at the Last Supper. How would you explain that?
Well, but you have to remember that Jesus also referred to women in a way that nobody had ever done before. He associated not only with women in public, which had never been done before, but he also went into Samaria, which the Jews despised, and he recognized a woman who was living with her fifth man, and he, in just a few minutes, he convinced her that he was the Son of God, and she was the first witness, really, to go and tell her people, I have witnessed the long-awaited Messiah. And we know that his mother, Mary, is exalted now in many, I think all Christian faiths, just because she bore the Son that looked upon women as equal people.
Mr. President, one of the charming parts of your book is your description of the chivalry of the Georgia, the rural Georgia that you grew up in. And I think it'd be interesting for people if you describe that a bit. And you say in the book that you and your wife, Rosalind, were virgins when you married in that old-fashioned Georgia. And I'm wondering, if you were growing up today, young men and women in 2014, would you still want that to be true? Would you still want to be married as husband and wife as virgins?
We argued over who got to ask that question.
I should have known. There would be some competition on the Washington Post who asked that question. Well, that was a difficult part of a book for me to write, and I really, my wife is my best editor. I did not let her see that part of the book before it was published. Well, that was true. When I was a child and growing up and even a young man, it was not the promiscuity that was permissive done in our community as it is now. We were deeply religious. In fact, Plains now has grown tremendously. We now have 700 people in Plains, and we have and we have 11 churches, so it's still a very religious community. But it's obviously changed now, and I would advise young people, if they can do it, to refrain from sexual intimacy until they get married. But I don't criticize my 12 grandchildren or my 11 great-grandchildren if they decide to do otherwise. And sometimes we go on, in fact, every year we go on a Christmas vacation, and there are times when my grandsons, for instance, have had a very intimate girlfriend who's not yet married, and when they go on a vacation, we look the other way when they sleep in the same room and the same bed. So, you know.
You don't cast them out?
I've learned as the times change that we can't have the same mores and requirements that we had then. But one of the things that happened then was I grew up in a segregated community. We were the only white family. We had 55 African-American families living around us. And I respected the black women as much as I did the white women. And I saw then that there was an intense and legal discrimination against black people. And even the white folks who disagreed with it, theoretically, didn't do much about it because the white people enjoyed the advantages of better jobs and better pay and better education systems and to serve on juries and to make all the selections on voting day. And now we have the same thing on a much greater basis, that is, the entire world. where people know that women are being abused, and quite often we don't want to do much about it because it would disturb the way that we occupy a privileged position.
Isn't this about power, basically?
A lot of it is about
power. The whole idea of men wanting to have power over women, and part of it seems to me to be about sexual fear, men fearing women in some way, that they might emasculate them. And that they are afraid of women's sexuality. How do you change that? I mean, that's so much a part of thousands of years of culture, long before the Bible.
Well, the only way I know to change it is to use what influence you have as an individual to bring about an awareness of the problem. And one way is to be president of the United States and then write a book about the subject. As a matter of fact, there are about 20 different forms about discrimination or abuse of women, and I've got a solution in the last chapter for these, what we ought to do. And I would say a lot of the problem, I know you do a lot with religion, is because there is an interpretation in the Bible of superiority for men. And within major denominations like the Catholic Church, for instance, over a period of the last 17 centuries or so, since the 3rd century, it has been ordained by the men leaders of the Catholic Church that women should not be deacons or not be priests. And I've written Pope Francis about this and responded. I got a response that I was able to quote in the book, and he promised me, not because it was I, that he thought it should be a greater role for women in the future in the Catholic Church. I was a very devout member of the Southern Baptist Convention for 70 years of my life. I was very active there. And the Baptist, Southern Baptist in 2000, decided that women should be subservient to men officially and that no woman could serve as a priest or a deacon or a chaplain. And they took it to extremes, even for them, I think, because they ordained it in the seminaries where the higher level of Baptists are trained in universities, that women couldn't teach a classroom if a boy was a student and so forth. And you can find individual, you know, verses in the Bible that maybe confirm those beliefs.
But by the way, did you write the Pope snail mail?
I did. I typed the letter myself, and I mailed it to him through the representatives that he has in Washington to represent the Vatican, yes.
Sally's snail mail question reflects something that's come out during President Carter's book tour, which is that he suspects the NSA is looking at his emails, so this is a good time to ask you, why would they do that?
Well,
do you think they think you're dangerous, or that you're talking to dangerous people, or that they just collect everybody?
If you've sent an email today, they have recorded it. If you've made a telephone call today, they have recorded it. The fact that you made the call, that it originated with you, and they know whom you called, and they know how long the call lasted. And they record the entire thing. They don't go back and listen to your words, they say. But if they want to later on, they can go back and listen to the exact words that you spoke. And I do think that that needs to be corrected, and I hope that President Obama will do it. I would like to see him do it by executive order, which I think he could, and I think it's going to be a delay and maybe an attenuation of his corrective action by the Congress. But anyway, that's what I have long for a good while known. I faced the same question when I was in the White House. In 1978, we passed the so-called FISA Act, and that prevented any intelligence agency of the United States from interfering with one single telephone call or one communication of an American citizen unless an objective jury said this was a threat to our security. And that prevailed pretty much until 9/11, and then they began to liberalize this, and laws were passed by the U.S. Congress, most of which were not even read by anybody that didn't serve in the intelligence committees, and the rest of the Congress didn't know what was there. And when they passed the laws, it still had some restrictions in it. There's no doubt in my mind that the NSA went much further than the law permitted, and now I think we're making some corrections.
So, hi, I'm Steve Lerman. I'm the guy that produces, edits, narrates, and promotes great speeches and interviews. I'm the guy responsible for airing in-depth interviews, speeches, and even debates on controversial subjects such as war and peace and climate change and the economy. I hope you like listening to it as much as I like producing it. Access Sacramento broadcasts it on the internet every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can find the podcast at greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com as well as at Facebook.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not a Reporters battle Trump.
start, slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive centering. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, step down. Watch your heel crush, crush up. Oh, this means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear. Tournament, a tournament, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline.
It's the end of the world.
Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, button, that, right?
Right.
It's the end of
Now back to Jimmy Carter talking about human rights abuses against women around the world.
So to ask you the question that I think a lot of people wonder, if you were president today and it was within your power as president
yes.
to issue a pardon to Edward Snowden, whose revelations of these activities lead all of us to know what the NSA has been collecting about us and about people, would you do that? Would you offer a pardon to Snowden?
No, because you can't pardon someone who hasn't been tried and convicted. And so I think that Edward Snowden, if I were president, I wouldn't tell him what to do, but if he decided to come back to the United States and face the actual violations of law that he perpetrated and was found guilty by a 12-person jury, and then he was sentenced to death, I would certainly consider a pardon, yes. But I can't say what I would do because I don't have the information that President Obama has about what damage has been done to our security apparatus. I just read the Washington Post and a couple of other minor
periodicals. Good
That's
start.
Right.
I think it's an understatement to say that you do not shy away from controversy. And, you know, there's already been a dust-up since your book has come out. You've been doing these interviews from the Catholics and the Southern Baptists who say that you're criticizing them unfairly for treating women badly. Jewish readers are saying that that when you said that your lack of relationship with the president was probably due to your views on Israel and Palestine, and then others on the internet are saying that you were soft on Islam in your book. I mean, I'm sure that this is something that you've expected, but are there any countries or any faiths that you think are worse than others in their oppression of women?
Well, there certainly are, yes. For instance, in some areas of Africa, Egypt, for instance, 90% of the women in Egypt who are living now have had their genitals mutilated. And some of them horrendous in nature, where they cutters with using a razor blade. And I have met with a number of cutters, by the way, who have abandoned their profession. They not only remove the sexual ability to enjoy the sex act to discourage promiscuity, but they also sew up the orifice of a woman's sexual organ so that she can only urinate or menstruate. And then when she gets married, they go in and cut again to permit her to have sexual activities with a bare child. That kind of thing goes on. And it, by the way, it's not ordained in any Holy Scripture, but it's something that's perpetrated by mothers who went through this as children, and they think it's a proper thing to do for their daughters. So that doesn't have anything to do with religion.
Right.
And I would say that that honor killings of girls who are raped and their mother, and particularly the younger brothers who are still juveniles, murdered their sisters or their daughters because she was sexually abused, or if she violates their order about whom to marry or does something like that, then she's killed. That's not part of religious belief. You can find that quote, by the way, in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, where it is mandated that if a man marries a girl and finds out that she's not a virgin on his wedding night, he can take her back to her father's front door, and she should be stoned. And you may know that Jesus faced that when he forgave the woman who had permitted adultery. But this is something that's been done. But the worst crime that goes on a global basis that I cover in the book is the murder of little girl babies by their parents. And this is done after they're born, when they see that she's a girl. And lately, with the advent of sonograms, they can detect the sex of a fetus before it's born, and they abort the baby selectively. And there were anywhere from 30 to 60 million people killed in the Second World War, and 160 million women right now and girls are missing from the face of the earth because they've been murdered by their own parents. Mm-hmm. This is the worst case of women's abuse that I can think of, because the girls have actually been killed.
Do, 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 do. Business, business everywhere runs a country through your hair. Lay my life on the line to dare. All these posers everywhere. Business, business in your face. Profit making every place. Even rebel music's laced. Time to give those fakes a taste. Who made business of the earth? Determined its godly worth. Time to put it in a hearse before this place really burst. Business, business everywhere. Babies use the word before they learn to walk the stairs. Anybody here say World Trade Organization? Perpetuating, exploiting peoples, tribes, and nations. Let's see if we can see how far back bad business started. Long before the pharaohs and the day the sea was parted. When Moses led the slaves through the waves to be saved. But tell me, did things really change? Look around the world, the top down, it's getting awful strange. Bad business getting poor people in a tizziness. Makes them want to blow up Babylon so high it's dizziness. Business at the center of the WTO. World Trade, what? OWTC center? You know, a disaster. Business making pollution grow fast. Made a crook of the doctor and the pastor. Took the president and made of him a bastard. And sells to you the rip-off rapper on your ghetto blaster. Who wants money first and justice second? I'm wrecking this. Throw the merchants out the church, they're begging for a king-size downfall. Beggars in the street because of y'all. Let it be known that dirty business made the world trade fall. Not terrorism, but businessism itself. Like the media putting war flicks on your shelf. A lot of wealth in your daily news and TV too. Papers, capers, congressmen are just escapers, it's true. Yeah. Oh, while the refugees go do 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 do. Business, business everywhere learns the country through your hair. Lay my life on the line to dare. All these posers everywhere. Business, business in your face. Profit making every place. Even rebel music's laced. Time to give those fakes a taste. Who made business of the earth? Determined its godly worth. Time to put it in a hearse before this place really bursts. Maybe I can put this differently. The new world order's gonna get hurt just by being me. Cause I ain't seen nothing but hype, no controversy. And so it looks like this time it might have to be me. So, yeah, confidentially, it's my personal business how the rock star gets fame. Exploiting poor folks to get rich, so tell me who's to blame. Shame on you, you poser, wake up, party's over. Kill the Land Rover, army buggy, sold the world over. Yeah, the world is soon to be over. The way this here deal's going down, that's why it's my personal business how the Bush and Cheney families been doing business with the Hussein Laden families. And getting fights when things don't go quiet. Right, you see, and whip up wars when they need profits for the military. The chickens already came home to roost. The cat is out the bag with tea shopping on the truth. But even if the dirty businessmen get their wars, the truth's been told and will be known and grown forevermore. So if anybody doubts, look how Nero's remembered. Every lie finally leads to time and God surrenders. yeah, while the refugees go. Do 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 do. Business, business everywhere runs the country through your hair. Lay my life on the line to dare all these posers everywhere. Business, business in your face, profit making every place. Even rebel music's laced. Time to give those fakes a taste. Who made business of the earth? Determined its godly worth. Time to put it in a hearse before this whole wide world bursts.
Now for something completely different.